Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week from Reno 911, you know him as the dude in the shorts. It is Thomas Lennon, but what a fantastic career this dude has had, all the way back to being Joey Tribbiani's twin hand model to, so many other projects. Super fun, cool dude. And we talk about the new Reno 911 Christmas movie called The Christmas Heist, which is out now on Comedy Central. We do this every single Wednesday and Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Use the code SDR to get 20% off and a free one-week trial at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Access to every episode we've ever done. 5 days earlier, you could have heard this commercial free, or just continue to listen or watch on YouTube or wherever you might be listening right now. We just want you to spread the love. Here it is right now, the Thomas Lennon Reno 911 edition of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me now, very frequently. I would say now you, James, are locked in as the second most frequent in co-host on the show. James Madden back in, man.
I wasn't. Look, I'm back in, baby. This is just like everything else in my life. We'll leave it like that.
I'm going to try and give this man the right introduction, okay? You may know him as an actor, a writer, a comedian, a best-selling author of the Ronan Boyle series. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Been in a ridiculous amount of movies. You probably know him best from as Lieutenant Dangle, or my most important credit, as Joey Tribbiani's twin hand model on Friends. It is Thomas Lennon. How are you, sir?
It's such a pleasure to be here, guys. Hi.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing really, really great.
Well, let me start with not that long ago, your writing partner and co-host or co-star from Reno 911, Robert Ben-Garrett, did the show, right?
Well, fun.
And years ago, Michael Ian Black did the show. So we're slowly working through the state is how I'm looking at it.
All of the state. You've only got
17 more to go.
17 more.
Yeah. So now I just, by the way, I've been a crazed fan of Reno 911 since the beginning. I've been always a huge fan. It's wild that the show technically has outlived the show it was parodying. So there is no more Cops, but there is still Reno 911.
Reno 911. Not only that one, John Langley, the creator of Cops, got his star on the Walk of Fame. He had us present it to him.
Oh, that's nice. I like hearing that.
So, we have we pulled a Weird Al on music. The way that he kind of outlasted everybody he spoofed. We're riding out the spoofs.
Yeah, and it's also, by the way, I have to imagine this, and you would probably know, the longest distance between seasons of any show in the history of shows.
I've never thought about that fact, but it's entirely possible.
I mean, it has to be. What the fuck else would possibly be
there? There's a weird detail that even though we started doing the actual show in 2003, mm-hmm. what that doesn't show is that it sat on a shelf for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
The pilot was not for Comedy Central. We shot the original Reno pilot for Fox. And we did that in the winter, the fall winter of the year of white, right around Y2K.
Wow. And then it just sat with Comedy Central, I guess.
It sat on the shelf at Fox. They did not pick it up. They didn't like the Dangle had a very long makeout scene and they were like, this might not fly on our regular like primetime broadcast TV. And we're like, yeah, we think it's funny. We're going to leave it. And so we left it and the show did not get picked up.
Wow. And then also, it has to be a record for the most networks because it's Comedy Central, then Quibi, then Paramount, then Roku. Now the movie's back on Comedy Central. That's got to be a record as well. I have to. Brooklyn Nine-Nine jumped a lot too, but that I think you got to beat them.
Though it makes me sad when you say that list because I'm like, were we never on CISO? We did everybody, but we didn't get to see. So
you opened and ended Quibi, I think.
To be fair, actually, Ben and I did have a separate show that was on CISO. So
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. So I not to jump around, but when Robert Garrett was on the show, we talked about the USS Alabama, right?
Oh, that you shot. Yeah, space show. Yeah.
And he sent me the pilot. We got to watch the pilot, which is so cool of him.
Yeah.
We weren't not cool enough. I heard your interview on Barstool. We weren't cool enough to get the preview of the heist movie that's coming out. But you can make up for us by sending us the strip. I heard you shot that and that never came out. Do you have that?
That was a really good show. I really, really liked that. Yeah. That was a show about I was a restaurateur in Las Vegas who was trying to have a nice place, but mm-hmm. everybody who was coming there was so gross that it just kept turning into, it kept degrading into a Hooters where people would throw bones.
Spectacular.
And everybody just keeps throwing their bones on the floor of this restaurant. It just kept getting shittier and shittier. It was actually very fun.
Well, and does that pilot live anywhere?
Absolutely. I have a DVD of it across the hall.
Yeah. Is it something that we could kind of try and finagle if this interview goes well and you like us?
I could burn you a copy of that.
All right. That would make me very happy.
God, once a radio guy, always a radio guy. Hey, is there something free you can send me that no one else has?
Yeah, please.
Can you send me the demo? This is unbelievable.
Show. It's got Cedric Yarbrough was in it. Natasha Leggero was in it. It's really actually a very cool show.
That's awesome. Cool. And by the way, James, that was always so important to me in radio. I did radio for 20 years. I had a show that was on about 100 stations, all rock based, like 80s rock. And I would so care that we were the first people to play a song before anybody
of
else.
Of course.
That we had a webpage dedicated to we played it first. Like we were the first to play The Darkness. We were the first to play Buck Cherry, whatever the heck it was. That just meant something. It's a radio guy. It's a radio thing. What can I tell you?
Well, thank you. I can't wait for the episode. I'm the first to see the strip in 20 years.
Yeah, that's fucking great to me. I'm excited as shit for that.
I hope that you are the single-handed revival of that show and CISO at the same time, Ralph. You're going to do something that my appearance as a woke Andrew Dice Clay couldn't do. Save CISO. my one on copy on CISO.
Come on, CISO.
Yeah, come back, baby.
So now, I mean, as we touched on, most people, first time they are introduced to you would be through the state, which is, I don't know, it's got to be 20 years now, maybe more. I don't even know.
Way more. 30 years. The state, we met, the TV show started in 92.
Okay.
1992, but we were a comedy group in 1988.
Wow.
So all of the state, which is Michael Ian Black, David Wayne, Showalter, Ken Marino, Kerry Kenny, half of Reno 911. Half of that show, Stella, the Wet Hot American Summer guys, all of those people are from one collective called The State. Oh, which is the posters behind me. If there's video.
Nope.
Wow. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
So for the people that can't see us, there's a poster of The State behind me. So we were always I think we thought of ourselves as a little sort of punk band, in New York mm-hmm. back then.
It's wild that we never, because we're the same age. I'm 52 as well, even though you look younger than me. And my mom worked in the comedy space at that time. And I'm always surprised when it's someone that, because you guys were all part of the zeitgeist of New York comedy, if you want to use a fancy pants word. I don't know how we never crossed paths. I don't know.
I'm a little surprised too. I feel like we probably did, but. Yeah.
Maybe we weren't. We just
were also on a lot of drugs at the time.
All right. So now I watched, by the way, the entire new season. We'll get into the movie as well, obviously, but I watched the whole new season, which it's weird because it's technically a new name. It's now Reno 911 defunded, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I could be wrong, it was filmed before the last movie came out. Is that right?
The current episodes that are running right now, yes, were filmed. That stuff was filmed right before the hunt for QAnon.
That's pretty wild because it still feels relatively... I mean, it's never been a topical show, but it doesn't feel like it's not. And that's the key to it, right?
That's the secret is, and we honestly, we've been doing the same thing since The State. There's we never tether ourselves to a real place and time too much. Mm-hmm. It's weird because the defunded stuff was the closest we ever did to that,
mm-hmm.
Where we kind of deal with the idea that people want to defund the police.
Right. And there's a Mike Pence reference. That's pretty...
There was one Mike Pence reference. You're right. Yeah. We broke a couple of our rules to do that. But we very almost never do we do political stuff. We don't set stuff in time. There was, we did one episode that mentioned George W. Bush, and the reason it did is because it was a spoof of Waiting for Godot, the play. Mm-hmm. So it's just me and Ben out in the desert waiting for this motorcade to come.
Oh, yeah. When you were assigned to like protect him along the way of a route or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. You're just protecting one intersection.
Yeah.
But almost no one noticed, and certainly no one cared that it's like a very specific parody of Waiting for Godot.
So I'm going to give you and you again, feel free to shoot me down on this, but because I love being proven wrong. But one of my favorite things in the world that I always felt like, I don't know why this doesn't exist in comedy, like live action comedy, is like shows like Family Guy, Simpsons, American Dad, South Park. It's almost like a world of no consequences. There's a reset button every week, and it doesn't matter what happens because you know the following episode, things are fine, right? And I realized Reno 911 is kind of like that, where...
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean... Very specifically by design. We don't learn anything. We don't grow. We also don't even seem to remember. We don't remember anything.
Right.
That's really great.
There have been some through lines. You know, like we also had on the show, Kyle... what's his name?
Dunnigan. Oh,
yeah, Dunnigan, who has played a through line serial killer. But for the most part, there's not a lot of that.
I don't think we have the attention span for like, we're just not that kind of viewing. We're a show that you could watch with a cat or a dog. You know, it's like move on, get in, get out. Whenever we do like long running plots, it's always like, I don't know. You know, there's something about me. I as just a TV viewer, mm-hmm. like I like the X-Files episodes that are part of the bigger plot, mm-hmm. but I love a freestanding X-Files episode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that connects to nothing. Those are it's my dream.
Whenever someone tries to get me to watch a show that's like six seasons and I know I have to pay attention the whole time, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right. This is a completely out of left field question.
All right.
Again, I try to do research and I'm often wrong, but I believe you wrote some sort of adaptation for Trading Places, the movie, as Trading Places, the musical. Is that correct?
Not only did I write it, it ran in Atlanta this year.
Okay, so here's the question.
And it won an award.
Oh, all right. So this is my question. Ready? My cousin, my second cousin, my mother's first cousin, is Aaron Russo, who passed away years ago, who wrote Trading Places. Did you know him, or this is unrelated to that?
Wrote the movie.
Original movie.
But Herschel Weingrod wrote
maybe directed it or produced it. He was involved.
Maybe
directed or produced it.
Herschel Weingrod and this other guy wrote the original movie.
I'm going to look. I wish my fucking let's see here just really quickly, because if Shannon was here, she unfortunately she's not.
Can I say what my prediction was? Your question was going to be. Can I get front row tickets to the next time it plays in Atlanta, or send me the screenplay, or give me a credit?
It's just all free stuff.
Yeah, it's all I care about.
Never stops.
And the producer,
you absolutely can.
Absolutely. Send your PO box, Ralph, so you can get some leftover steak posters.
Yeah, so that's somewhat close.
Trading Places, the musical, ran in Atlanta at the Alliance Theater this year, and it won a Susie Award, which is an award.
Thank God.
Which is an award.
You don't even have to look it up, but it is a real thing, and it won that.
Is it something that's going to continue to exist, or was a one-off run?
That was the, you know, sort of the out-of-town, the first run of it. I'm not sure when the second run of it will be, but presumably a New York-type thing.
Dope.
Okay. All right, that's pretty cool.
One of those kind of things. Really up.
Right, I'm so all now, about musicals now, so I can't wait.
Are
I'm
you?
All about it. I went to two in 48 hours last week with my family. And now,
what were they?
I saw Music Man. It was the day before Thanksgiving. So the whole main cast, including Hugh Jackman, no call, no show. I mean, they called, but I like to make it sound like they're waiters who had enough. And then on Thanksgiving, we saw Phantom of the Opera. And I went from a punk rock metal kid who couldn't be bothered with musicals to listening to the London recording nonstop. I'm all about it. I want to talk in song. I want to wear the mask.
You got to talk about it. So last time we're in New York, I was like, I got to take my son to see Phantom because he's never seen it. And, you know, you got to see Phantom. So we got good seats. I did the stupid thing where you get, you know, the expensive seats, and we're down. Yeah. We're in the very front of Phantom. And there's three guys next to us, and they've got big drinks with like ice in them from the thing. Just a huge, the funniest drink you can get at the bar there. And I usually hate it when people talk in a theater. I will start a fight. I'll get up. I will stop you. But these guys were so funny. There's one guy who'd never seen it, and he was talking to his friends through all of Phantom.
Oh, no.
sounded, he had like a big drink and he sounded like Harvey Firestein. And he was like, oh my God, look at his face. Oh, his face is all burned up. Oh, it's crazy. Oh my God. Honey, don't go down to his lake. Do not go down to this guy's lake. And he just literally did that for the entire show. And I was like, at first it was making me crazy, but then the things he was saying, which were like, don't go down to this guy's lake.
It's phenomenal.
Were just so wonderful.
That's fucking great. I think if I, other than as a kid, my mom would take me to musicals. I saw 42nd Street and a lot of other stuff on Broadway. I think the last one I went to was American Idiot with Green Day. That was probably the last musical I saw.
Guys, I'm going to date myself. I saw O Calcutta.
Wow. Well, you're the same age. I know that one, but
O Calcutta was ran at the Edison Theater in Times Square in the Edison Hotel, and it was a musical comedy where the cast was naked for the entire show.
I remember that. I remember that.
The kind of thing that will never happen again on Earth. Well, it was so crazy.
A friend of mine forever, a comedian actor, Mario Cantone, was in a Broadway show where the opening scene, he ran out naked with his wiener flapping all around. Mm. And I was not prepared for that. And I had pretty damn good seats. It wasn't, and on Broadway, I wasn't ready for it. I did not expect to see that at all. All right, before we go any further, you know these guys. You love these guys. We're talking about Yo Kratom, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. They have your favorite strains, amazing customer service, and you will not find better prices anywhere. If you're over the age of 21 and you're into Kratom, head on over to YoKratom.com. Stock up on your favorites at $60 a kilo. YoKratom.com, the official sponsor of the SDR show, Skankfest, and a bunch of other shit. All right, let's get back into it. Let me ask you, I'm going to jump around and I apologize, but this is just a question. I don't know the answer. I'm sure the answer is no, but why not? Has there ever been a scene in Reno 911 where Lieutenant Dangle was wearing pants?
There is, and it's the origin story as to why he doesn't wear them.
Oh, when they caught on fire.
When they caught on fire. So, right. Yeah, it was there's a scene that we did, and they actually put like this burning gel on my pants, and they were really on fire, and I really cut myself out of them, and it was genuinely terrifying. Yeah.
That's great. I remember that now. See, as you're saying it, but other than that scene, no.
Nope, that's it. That's it. It's either the shorts or quite a bit less. Yeah.
Last night for sure. And also, I think maybe the best episode of this new season is, which I think it's called Beige Angels, which also has Cedric doing musical theater. So it all ties together beautifully here in the same episode.
Oh, Juneteenth.
Yeah, that's the same episode, right? Yeah.
I really love Juneteenth. Jones's Juneteenth celebration, because it ties in a lot of amazing things.
It's great. I don't want to give away too much of it. You can
watch one episode of those. I would go straight for Juneteenth.
Yeah, straight for that episode. And also the bike scene, if I'm not mistaken, you said in an interview, is based on an actual video that Miami put out, the Miami Police Department.
The poor, sweet Miami Police Department. God bless their souls. They put out a video of their elite riot response bicycle division.
Okay.
And they tried to do like some little bike like patterns and introduce themselves, and they all fuck up. Like,
does that video exist still? Can you find that online?
Oh, yeah, just do a Miami riot response bicycles or riot response bike division. But they try to do a Blue Angels thing, and it never works.
I can't believe it got released though. How did it actually get released?
They put it out, and then somebody just sent it to us, and I'm like, "Well, shit! Don't write the show for us. It's so don't make it that easy."
These things go out because people don't have real show business people telling them not to.
It's don't like put that out. Yeah, do not put that out.
For 20 years, sports teams would go on a winning streak and put out a rap, and everyone thought it was cute. And now they all are like,
"Yo, we're not here to feathers.
Yeah, roughly.
We're just here to do Super Bowl shuffle."
Yeah, it's like we should give the Super Bowl trophy back because of how bad that rap was. Yeah.
Well, hey, we remember the lyrics. 25 years later, it says something.
We're not here to feathers, comma, ruffle. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
And we can't forget that if we tried, Ralph. It's etched in our souls, unfortunately.
On the season and in the movie, from what I understand, I wasn't, as I said, privileged to see the movie yet, but I did see a teaser.
I can get you a link.
On the, well, it comes out this weekend. It's coming out, but I appreciate it. you pull out all the stops for like guest people. Weird Al plays Ted Nugent in the TV series.
And that's my favorite thing.
Phenomenal. And I know that, which is a brilliant story, and I'm sorry to make you repeat it, but you and Weird Al have become BFFs from a meet cute at a supermarket.
We were at the Staples Office Supply Center at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. We're both looking at printer toner. I see that crazy hair, and I'm like, that's either Kenny G or Weird Al. And then he turns, and I see it's Weird Al, and I'm like, hey, this is about 16, 17 years ago, maybe. And I was like, are you Weird Al Yankovic? And he said, are you Lieutenant Dangle? And I said, yeah. And I said, should we just decide to be best friends? And he's like, yeah, okay. And we shook on it. But then the joke is, then we actually put in the work, and we did become best friends. And
amazing.
Did you exchange numbers right there? Is that what happened?
We did, or emails or something, yeah. And then I went home, and I told my wife, I said, hey, I think I just made friends with Weird Al, and he's coming over for dinner with his family like very soon, and he's a vegan, and we got to get ready. And my wife said, who's Weird Al?
Really?
I was like, you just don't understand me.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's wild. How do you escape? It's almost impressive to not know who Weird Al is. It just like,
well, yeah, I mean, she was like an Ethan Hawke's theater company, and she's just, you know, like, she's not as cool as,
like,
as
I always, like, I know nothing about sports, okay, really nothing, but every year usually I know who's in the Super Bowl just because it's hard to avoid that, you know, like, even though I don't give a shit about sports, it's just part of what's going, it's part of the common vernacular. It's gonna seep in. Yes,
speaking
James?
Of my wife is in the movie Bull Durham.
That's right.
My wife gets married. She's the girl that gets married on the pitcher's mound at the end of Bull Durham. That's my wife.
And you guys have been married like 20 years or something, right?
Quite a long time, it seems.
That's
like
pretty cool. And then, like, the question that I was curious about though is, has anyone heard from Ted Nugent about his portrayal on Reno 911?
I kept thinking we maybe would hear something at some point but that's the other thing, is it's not defamatory. It's in a weirdly celebratory, but in a very left-handed way.
Right.
But what's weird is that whenever we introduce Ted Nugent on Reno 911, the characters all love him. Like, they can't wait to hang out with him. They want to play with all his guns, and he's usually got a tank. And so it's often like, that's what's weird about it, is it's fun to take something as weird as the Ted Nugent and then make him like beloved in our little universe, you know?
Yeah, it is wild. Having grown up as such a fan, he's actually done the show and shot an arrow on the show, right?
Shot an arrow on the show. We felt the way that your characters were towards him in real life. We're going to put it out there. We probably don't agree with 98% of the things he says out in public, but for that hour, he played free for all, Thomas. He shot an arrow.
That's pretty
wild.
He
told me that I got piss and vinegar and he loved me. He probably would hate me if we sat down. I'm like, this, make this hour last for the rest of my life. Put that arrow through me now, Ted.
The Motor City Madman himself.
Yeah, for a reason, by the way.
Sweaty Teddy.
And also, it's such a throwaway joke in this season, but it might be my favorite line is Coco Van. Just because as a guy who worked in a French restaurant, your coq au vin, the way you say it,
I'm so pleased with that episode. That's a weird episode. The Dangles, I think it's called The Hills Have Owls.
Yeah, the last episode.
Yeah. But it's basically like a version of The Staircase where Dangle is the bad guy.
Yeah, it is wild. And it is a real wild scene.
And he probably did it.
Oh, probably. Yeah. He did. That was the line from that great documentary. I forgot what it was.
Killed them all.
Yeah, that guy.
Robert Durst.
Robert Durst. Yeah, that's exactly that. Yeah.
Killed them all. Burp. Yeah.
That's really great. And also, Jamie Lee Curtis is in the season. The season is great. I literally was able to sit and watch the entire season in one sitting. I mean, that's just fucking.
I think you will like the Christmas movie as much or maybe even more.
So I watched the teaser, and this is not giving away anything. Nick Swartzen returns, you know, and you get to tug on his berries, apparently, in the beginning of the teaser.
Yeah, you never know. And Nick, is it a prank that he wants you to do, or is he really making you squeeze his nuts, or is it just a wonderful part of the scene? And either way, that's improv. Who cares?
Right, exactly.
We didn't have to shoot that too many times where I have to squeeze Terry's nuts to travel into the other dimension. But
and I know Bobby Moynihan is in it as well. Mike and Neil Black is in it as well. how much love and honor, homage, shall I say, to Christmas movies is in this.
You know, one of the weird things about it, while it's a batshit crazy Reno 911 movie, as always, it's also a real Christmas movie. Like, I think by the end, you will feel, you know, some kind of warm fuzzies. Now, it's insane on the way there, and it's, you know, it's a normal Reno 911. Everything's a little bit weird. You know, there's the bones of Kenny Rogers play a kind of a big part in the film, and there's we get attacked by a chimpanzee in a sack. There's a lot of, you know, there's classic sort of Reno 911 problems. Jim Jeffries makes an amazing appearance in the film. But by the end, I really think you will feel like it's a sort of you'll feel a warm holiday movie feeling by the end. I swear.
I have you, I mean, just because it just came out, I watched it yesterday. Did you watch I don't know if you're a Marvel fan at all, but did you watch the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special by any chance?
I did not know that it was out yesterday.
Yeah, it came out a couple days ago. I watched it the day it came out. I know that you were how could you not be a fan of the old Star Wars Christmas special? That's one that like sticks in my head.
But unbelievable.
Are there others are there any that are, because you, as you've said already a couple times in the interview, some Reno 911 episodes are pulling from specific ideas from culture. Are there any moments in the movie that are pulling, other than obviously the first one, from what I saw looks like Scrooge of some sort, or that Christmas?
There's a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life, Clarence seeing what life would be like. The rest of the movie is not really, and it doesn't really, it's not a reference to anything. It's more of just the feeling of a Christmas movie. You know, there's maybe the tiny touch of Die Hard in there, a tiny touch.
That's nice.
You know?
That's always nice.
But no, it is its own real holiday movie too. So,
and so when we had Robert Ben Garrett on, and he had mentioned this was right, I think the Quibi episodes. I forget what was out at that time. It's hard to track, but it was obvious to me, and I brought it up, and he said yes, that a lot of the scenes were shot disjointed because all of you guys are in multiple other projects. So to get everybody to come together, like there was a scene I could tell. I said, Nash was not in that scene with you guys. And he's like, you're right, he was not. So that's got to be a problem.
We've actually gotten better at that as the cast gets more and more famous and everybody has even more and more TV shows. now we travel with that briefing room set that we have.
Oh. It
goes with us everywhere we go. So even if we have to shoot a pretty normal conversation two or three times, so everybody's in it.
That's funny.
We have started doing that on occasion. Yeah.
That makes sense then. Cause I remember I was glad, I don't mean to call it out, but I could tell.
Oh, no. Yeah. 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 But Niecy's like, she was always dividing her time between like Dahmer and then us, or then, you know, Claus and then us, you know? So yeah, she's got a lot of shows.
In your, now, as we said, 30 something year history of being in entertainment, have you ever come to do an interview and they confused you with the documentarian of the same name?
That has actually never happened yet. I do know him. I got an interesting story about the other Thomas Lennon, who's a very, very nice guy. He's got a stack of Academy Award nominations. Apparently one time he says he got a check that he knew was for me because it was kind of big. He was like, this is not a check for making a documentary. So he mailed it back and I got it, which was nice.
That's a good dude.
Is a really good dude. But I had just started dating this woman in New York. And do you remember when we used to have answering machines that you'd hit a button and it would play like out loud?
Oh, yeah.
I walked in with this girl that I really liked I just started dating her. And I hit my messages. But this woman and I had been dating for at least a couple of weeks and it was starting to get serious. And on my messages was a message for Thomas. It was like, I had the most amazing time last night from this other woman. I cannot wait to see you again. I think we've like got a great connection. And it's playing out loud in front of my new girlfriend. And I was like, I can't explain this. This is crazy. And then I was like, oh shit. And I looked in the regular phone book, because it used to be in the phone book, and I called the other Thomas Lennon. And I was like, did you go out with Marjorie last night? And he's like, I did.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, she had an amazing time and she wants to see you again. But it was very nice that he was a real person. And
do you think it would have, if that he didn't answer the phone, that would have ended
looked like I looked like a horny weirdo who was like every night finding life partners. Yeah.
So I think I've told the story in the show, but it is so fitting for this. I have a twin brother. We lived together for a long time, way beyond where it was cool for twin brothers to live together. And we were basically common law married to each other at one point, you know? And I was dating a girl relatively seriously. She was away for the weekend. She was living with me in my side of the apartment at the time. She comes in, she goes to the bathroom. She comes out irate, holding a used tampon.
Oh, no.
Was in my garbage pail. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "What the fuck is this? Why is this in the?" And I start laughing because I look so guilty, but I knew I did nothing wrong. And I had no fucking clue how a tampon would have gotten in my bathroom. Right. And then she's screaming at me, "You motherfucker." And I asked her, I said, "Joey, why would there, do you have any idea?" And then, while I was out, he was on a date with the girl. She used my bathroom. Why she thought it was normal to leave a used tampon in my garbage pail.
Wild.
Different question.
But why? Because she's a classy lady and she didn't want to flush it because she knew it's bad for the plumbing.
Maybe.
You had a beautiful old building. You don't flush that stuff. I said, good girl, her. And you guys are a pack of jerks. She did the right thing. She's the only one in the story who did that.
That's fair enough.
Wow. And
you mentioned the big check. I don't think people realize how many movies you guys have either written or co-written, responsible for over $1.4 billion in movies worldwide. That's pretty fucking incredible.
Amazing.
We got a lot of pictures under the belt. Are they all the best movies you've ever seen? I don't know. I don't know if they are. Some of them are.
Do you have one that you're so proud of and it didn't do well? And you're like, I don't know why this one didn't do well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, I've never understood like why Hell Baby didn't do better. I thought it was like it's one of my favorite things we ever did. But it at the box office, I think it made about cost $2 million and probably made about $5,000. So I can't do the math on that. But yeah, we definitely lost some money on Hell Baby. But then, you know, we wrote Night of the Museum. That was
And there's a new one coming out, right? That's around the corner.
Fourth animated one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Wild.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
And then this is weird because I don't know if there's going to be any sort of copyright infringement on this, but apparently you are in the new second Jerry Seinfeld movie of all time called the Pop-Tart Story.
I'm Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story.
But here's the weird thing. There's Cop-Tarts in Reno 911. I feel like there could be a copyright infringement there.
Pop-Tarts. How you really do watch the show very
carefully. I don't fuck around, man.
Thomas, no one does research like him. He is better than Bruce Wayne, Batman. He's the greatest detective. He's going to figure out what he did last week.
I'm also Bruce Wayne's doctor in a different universe.
Oh, really? That's cool. I didn't know that. It's funny, though. Several times on the show, I've had people come and say, how the fuck did you find that out? Like, where did
it's unbelievable.
I try my best. I want to put in the, I mean, it's nice that you
can. What's called, you're a terrier.
Yeah.
You get on a scent and you don't let it go.
Don't let it go. So that movie is coming out. The new Nightmare in the Museum is coming out. Sorry, Nightmare at the Museum.
Nightmare at the Museum. Which, by the way, great spinoff, great spoof.
Nightmare at the Museum is nice.
There's a T-Rex with a big claw that has hands, and he says like funny, like, I'm swallowing your soul. Something. Yeah.
It works for me. But now, this amazes me. These are all movies that, in theory, are coming out with Thomas Lennon. Rennie?
Yeah.
Is it true a movie called The Machine with Vin Diesel?
That has never happened. I don't know when that was put. We wrote it. That's a movie that we wrote like 12 years ago. That was actually really very cool. And I, for the life of me, I can't even barely remember the log line, but it keeps saying that that movie's coming out. To my knowledge, that movie is not coming
out. It's not coming out. It's good to know that. But
I think that one has just not been updated in a long time, even though it was happening at some point.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. And then this one, I'm hoping, is a play on Three Men and a Baby, but I could be wrong. It's called Two Men and a Pig?
Apparently, I'm in that as soon as it gets made.
So it hasn't been made yet?
Hasn't gotten made yet.
Okay, sorry. Now, what about Best Clowns? That looks scary.
That's a picture I'm actually in, and I really love that picture.
These are all actually coming out movies. There's a lot of shit coming out with Thomas Lennon.
That's scary, Ralph? Ralph, that's scary?
I'm not. It's just a little creepy.
It's actually kind of an upbeat clown movie, which is even weirder.
There's a great clown scene in Reno 911 this season too. But can you give any sort of info on this?
There've been a couple great spooky clown in the woods scene.
Spooky clown in the woods scene is a great scene.
I love spooky clown in the woods. That's Ken Marino. We pull up. We've gotten reports about a spooky clown in the woods, and we pull up to Ken Marino's out in the woods, and he's acting all spooky, but he's also just a real asshole who's not going to take any of our questions. Oh, I love that scene.
I love it. I also love that somehow.
Remember the old clown car scene in Reno 911?
Of course.
Clowns got trapped and they asphyxiated and they couldn't get out of the door. So it's us pulling the corpses of clowns.
Corpses of clowns out. I remember that very well.
Yeah. It's amazing.
25, 30 minutes, yeah.
I also like that the barometer to whether or not he's a legit clown, Ken, is if he can juggle. And they're like, okay, he's a clown.
And then he does.
Yeah, and he juggles. That's okay, fine. We can let him go.
And then we leave. Yeah.
And then what if... My last one of potential new Thomas movies, Destroy All Neighbors. Is that one
also? That's totally true. That's a Jonah Ray, Alex Winter movie, like monster movie that they made that is really cool with like practical monsters and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. And if you like those guys, which we all do, Destroy All Neighbors, it looks amazing.
And what's funny is that we had Chris Parnell on the show not that long ago, and he does every voice on the planet. Like, he's into every single I told him that the only like adult fanned cartoon comedy, like Family Guy, American, he's in all of them. He's just not been in South Park. He should just call those guys. They just give me one line, so I've been in everything, right? He should just do that. But you also have been in everything, so many different VOs.
Not South Park either,
right?
I know.
Have you ever tried to make that happen, or it's if they come to you, you do it?
Oh, obviously, I'm going to, of course, I do South Park. But I don't know why it's never come up. Well, they do a lot of their own voices too. I think it's because they cover so many of the voices so beautifully. But show up on Bob's Burgers a lot.
Yes, and Bob's Burgers a lot.
On Bob's Burgers.
And American Dad, you've done a lot.
American Dad, quite a bit. I've got a couple nice characters on American Dad. That's always fun. I'm also on a show called that's actually really funny. I don't know if you've it's more for kids, but it's really good. It's Jellystone.
I've never seen it. No.
All the Hanna-Barbera characters living in a little town.
Oh, word!
It's genuinely like truly hilarious.
Wow. I mean, did you see the genuine? We're two grown men. He's in his 50s. I'm in my 40s, and we both went, watch it the minute we have done with this Zoom.
Yeah,
that's the greatest sell I've ever heard in my life.
It's a great show, and I love it. Yeah, it's got Paul F. Tompkins is in it. I'm in it. It's all really nice, funny people.
Wow, that's definitely something. Yeah. And again, I could be wrong about this, but I like it. I sometimes like if I'm wrong, because then it looks like I tried my best.
Right.
You were up for the role in Step Brothers, and it's between you, Adam Scott, and John Hamm.
I don't know if it was that we were all equally up for it. I know that when I went back to the callback, there was only three people there.
Oh.
And I walked in the door, and Adam Scott and John Hamm are already sitting in the waiting room, and I was like, fuck this. Damn it. It's like both of those motherfuckers would be amazing at this. It's tough. It's bad. It's tough for your confidence when you walk in and you see like people. Yeah, you'd be amazing at this.
One of my favorite scenes. I mean, that dinner table scene with him. And also, I know that Will really wanted to do a second Step Brothers, but instead they did an Anchorman 2 because they knew it would make more money. But I would kill for a second Step Brothers. I think that would be much fun.
Even still.
And even I don't know if this is true, but you're one of the few characters to survive in Santa Clara Diet, and there's a rumor that you were going to pitch a way to keep your character alive and going.
I don't see why you wouldn't follow my principal character from that show, who is such a sexy, sexy, fascinating character, and who's not dead.
Right.
So, I mean, look at all the aspects I have going for me. Pure sex, not dead,
That's really all you need.
I think it's great. I really think it's all you need for SD Deuce, the Reduce.
Right. And this is weird because another, so, you know, you guys, as you said, you mentioned, was it Stella? Am I saying that right? Yeah. And Viva Variety, right?
Yep.
But you, because you can find every Reno 911 online, you can't find Viva Variety. And apparently that's because you own it.
I was befuddled to find something out. So here's what it is. All of The State is on Paramount Plus, which is amazing. Right. If you haven't seen it, The State still holds up.
Yeah.
I'm super proud of it. I called Paramount and was talking to these guys, and I'm like, hey, Paramount, how come you haven't put out Viva Variety? And they looked into it, and they called me back like a month later, and they're like, crazy detail, you own it, Tom.
Wow.
Oh, and I was like, but I don't want to own it. I was like, I don't have a distribution platform like you guys do. So I would love to get those out at some point. Maybe that just means we put them on YouTube. I don't know.
I mean, why wouldn't, I don't know enough about it, obviously, but why would you just not sell it, lowball sell it to Paramount if you're doing nothing with it?
We absolutely would. We absolutely would. I should remind them that I want them to do that.
Yeah. I mean, just make me a fucking offer. Just like,
send me some Beavis and Butthead t-shirts. I don't care. Just because I would love for Viva Variety to be out there. Hey, speaking of, January 20th in San Francisco, we're doing a live Viva Variety show.
Oh, get wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sketchfest, January 20th, 2023.
My old band used to take breaks during rehearsal to watch Viva Variety.
It's a show that I'm really proud of. People don't talk about it that much because you can't find it, which is...
It was wild, bro.
It's a great show. I think it's pretty cool.
That's the legend of it.
That's when I also realized I had a strange attraction to Carrie in that episode.
That's not strange. That's not strange. She's a good-looking lady. Yeah.
He had cool bands and all that shit, man.
Yeah. And also, I think it's really cool that you just offered us both a pair of tickets each if we come out to
California. Show up. If you guys show up at the door at Sketchfest on January 20th in San Francisco, you're fine.
I will fucking do it. I'm not kidding. I would do it for sure.
Ralph, I'm surprised you haven't asked to be sent the copies of Viva Variety so you could negotiate platforms.
If you have a VHS player,
let's go. Snowball, baby.
I have them somewhere on VHS.
I don't think I have a VHS player, but it's a couple other questions. Then I know we don't have all the time of the world with you, but I you were in the Weird Al movie, which I unfortunately have not seen yet. But you know why? I was doing Thomas Lennon research, for God's sake. Okay. That's why.
It's a magnificent picture. It's really, really fun movie.
I can't wait to watch it. But it is true that there's some scene that you're getting punched in the face, and you actually did several times. Get punched in the face.
Toby Huss, who's one of my best friends, who plays the father of Weird Al in that movie, he's an intense actor, and he's gonna, you know, sometimes he's gonna give you a good fake punch, and then every once in a while he's just gonna connect by accident. And he definitely, I mean, the whole scene is just a fight, basically, without too many spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I get murdered pretty bad early in the Weird Al movie, but for sure, a couple of good connections. But I've had way worse stuff happen on Reno 911.
Is there one that sticks out?
And it was the dumbest thing I ever did on Reno 911. And you get hurt on the show all the time, but it was Trudy was in a craft store with a sawed off shotgun. And we didn't have somebody to play an extra perp that she was going to shoot at. So I just put pantyhose on my head. That's the way we do the show. It's always like, it's like a community theater production. So I had pantyhose on my head and I was just going to jump out. And then she's going to shoot at me with a sawed off shotgun with blanks in it. And so we did it. She shoots at me, boom. And I wanted to really make it awesome. So I jumped backwards in this craft store and I hit my head right where your spinal cord meets like your brain, that on a metal bracket on the wall. And it was the worst pain I ever remembered feeling. But the bummer, and then I slumped down, but the bummer was I was still in the shot. So I couldn't get up and like ask for help because it would ruin the take. And I knew that was a good take and then we wouldn't do it again. But I was also like, hey, did I just get paralyzed?
Oh my God,
man.
Until this take is over, and then I'll get up and see if I'm okay. And of course, I was okay. I still have a little, like, just a little tiny dent back there. But
if you see that episode and that scene, that's the take that was used?
Oh, it's in this show. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you see me in the background, pantyhose on my head, in the it's Weigel's on Suicide Watch is I think the name of the episode.
Okay, because Kerry obviously plays the prostitute in town, and
Jackie, yeah,
and then I'm sure somebody in the cast played Joe Rogan this episode, this season. I'm sure it wasn't.
Oh, who's in the ghillie suit? Yeah. That's one of the stunt guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume it wasn't. It would have been cool if it actually
was. That
was
my favorite joke.
Yeah. It would have been funny if it actually was Joe Rogan. Would have been hilarious.
I know. That's my favorite joke is he just jumps up. We're like, Rogan. Hey, man.
Yeah. Totally just accepting it.
Just dude in a ghillie suit, but we just assume that it's, yeah.
Yeah. And also, by the way, your Joe Exotic back a couple of years ago was super convincing.
I feel like it was basically the quintessential Joe Exotic impression. And I feel like that was validated by how many people were angry that Colbert had Joe Exotic on, because it was actually just me. But folks were like, how would you have this guy on? He's a terrible person. So
that's really great, though. And then a running theme I've heard you guys say, and the name of the show is SDR, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. I don't do any drug, but once a year I try a drug, right? That's part of the show. It is what it is, right? And a couple of weeks ago, for the first time in my life, I did Whippets with comedian TJ Miller, right? Sure. On the show. And you guys have said in countless interviews, Whippets are kind of fun. Is that something that I missed out?
We say it on the show all the time.
I saw it in an interview too, my friend. I'm not kidding. That's why I made the note.
The deputies are always like, hey, why don't we go sit in the car and do Whippets for a little while? There was definitely a time when a bunch of the state tried some Whippets one night, and I don't know if I would describe them as fun.
I didn't mind it. I liked it at last 30 seconds. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, it lasts 30 seconds from the outside. From the inside, it can be... all I remember is the entire world turned into cellos for a second, like looked like cellos and cello music. And I thought I was gone for a pretty long time, but I guess not. But yeah.
What were you going to say, James?
Yeah. What do you mean the inside? This is
confusing. You mean like internal time clock, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. From the inside of trying Whippets.
Yeah. Like DMT is supposed to take 15 minutes, but it feels like 15 hours to DMT.
Oh, boy. Feel like a very long time to you. Yeah.
You've talked me out of it, boys. I'm out.
No, I didn't mind it. And I'm a guy that doesn't hate every drug I've ever tried. So to me, it wasn't bad.
You ever tried mushrooms?
Yes. Oh, my God. It lasted way too fucking long, dude. It's
God, Ralph, long. I would love in your 50s, you get hooked on a drug and it's Whippets. It would be this is a movie that needs to be made.
Also, by the way, phenomenal. Minute for minute or second for second, the most expensive drug on the planet is Whippets, for sure.
If it's last 15 seconds. Yeah,
it's crazy expensive if you're going by that way. And also, by the way, a wildly, I think.
What time of day did you take mushrooms, though?
It's all, by the way, the worst possible way because it's live on the show. So I'm doing it in a way.
Oh, you did it live on the show, but did you do it? Oh, so you're in a room?
Yeah, in a room.
Hanging Red Rocks and shit. No,
that's an outdoor. An outdoor daytime thing, man. Yeah, you made that's a real rookie mistake. That someone even let you do that.
Yeah. Well, it's for Thomas, like you on Reno 911. I will do something just because I know it's good for the show, and they are the most watched episodes. Is when I do a dumb.
You're rookie, Ralph.
Yeah, I am
a mistake.
Yeah, an unsung comedy, by the way, for me that I love is Balls of Fury. I know you wrote that early on, but I fucking love.
I love that one. I also forgot at the end of Balls of Fury, if you listen to the music credits, I totally forgot until it came up in a playlist of mine. Craig Wedren, who does all our music for Reno 911, and he did the theme song for The State. He's from the band Shudder to Think. He also wrote in the end credits of Balls of Fury, there's a love theme from Balls of Fury, and it's really amazing.
Really?
It's out there somewhere. It's like, let me come inside with these balls of fury. I mean, it's really, really like anthemic.
That's great. I'm going to have to rewatch that just for that alone. I would do that for sure. And I like that. Although, again, not to shit on it, I never watched a single episode of Stranger Things, but I know that it was hard to shoot the heist movie because it's made malls popular again.
Apparently, everybody loves malls after Stranger Things.
Pretty wild.
It really like created an actual resurgence in like malls being popular. That's how popular wild. That show is, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
So when this comes out, which is this Saturday, the Christmas heist is out today.
December 3rd.
Yes.
On regular Comedy Central.
On actual Comedy Central. By the way, I had a hunt for the fuck. I didn't realize that the Defunded was on the Roku channel. I was like, well, it's not here. It's not on Paramount. It took me a while to find it. So
I know. People get mad about where to find us here and there. I will say I'm especially pleased that this one is straight up Comedy Central.
For season 9 of Reno 911, I'm assuming there is one, you should just switch networks again. Why not? Keep people guessing.
What do we got? What do we got left? Tubi?
Yeah, do Tubi.
Tubi's a good one.
Is there something called FUBAR?
No, this is like, it is something, F-U something, like
Floofy.
Yeah, because I downloaded that thinking that's where you guys were on. I downloaded a couple of apps. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Did you do Pluto?
I didn't try Pluto. No, I did not.
Pluto. Yeah, we'll do Pluto next. Yeah, that's great.
You should keep moving around. Is there any way? Is that greenlit yet, or you have no idea if there's another Reno 911?
I have no idea. We haven't even really talked about it. Okay. Honestly, we finished this movie really recently. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you did two movies in about a year and a half. So
we started filming it on August 9th this year.
Oh wow, that's a real quick turnaround.
That's quick, dog.
Fast. If you see that it's coming out in today. Yeah. Right.
So we're gonna do the first now, because we got to get that in.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, yep. Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, but we just mean the first concert. It doesn't have to be rock, but the first concert you went to on your own volition, weren't dragged to by your parents.
Oh, not dragged by the parents. That's totally different then. Then yeah. First show of my own volition is 1983 Alpine Valley. I've got a poster behind me of Alpine Valley, the music venue. And it was Bob Dylan touring with Tom Petty.
Wow. Strong. That's a great one.
I got a t-shirt that I still have somewhere in one of my drawers. I still have the Bob Dylan, Tom Petty t-shirt, 1983.
And because we're the same age, that means you're either 12 or 13, depending on when you
13.
Went.
13, yeah.
And that's pretty wild. That's a great one.
Pretty psyched. And Dylan said one thing at the concert, but I remember it.
Which was?
Was it?
He doesn't talk at his shows a lot. Sometimes he just plays. But at this show, he said,
I'm hungry.
I was just up in Minnesota. Around there, I'm kind of considered a local boy.
That was it.
That was it. Oh, my God.
It's spectacular.
Then I saw him like 25 more times, and he never said another thing ever. And then 25 shows later, I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl, and he was playing, and he said,
almost didn't get here tonight. Got a flat tire. There was a fork in the road.
That was it. Those are two.
Spectacular.
I spent my entire life going to see Bob Dylan. I heard him say two sentences.
That is hilarious. Okay, so now the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug, because most people it is.
Absolutely, cocaine. And we used to, growing up, we lived in Oak Park on the west side of Chicago. And I don't know how we started doing this, but we would sometimes, you'd get cocaine. There was somebody had a friend who was in the Undertaker Vice Lords, which was a branch of the Vice Lords on the west.
Excuse me?
Chicago.
Yeah, the Undertaker Vice Lords is the greatest.
Gesture. The Undertakers was a division of the Vice
Lords. Wow.
Probably still is. And you could get, this is, you know, at a time when a pack of cigarettes was 90 cents. You could get a little tiny dime back for, it was just like $10. And you just get a little tiny bit of cocaine from the Undertaker Vice Lords on the west side of Chicago. And it would make you better at musical theater. So that's
a good pitch. Yo, kid, try this. You're going to hit your notes a little better.
Yep. And all that we needed was the Undertaker Vice Lords to push us just over the top a little bit with our performance.
My first one was not too long ago at 50 on the show. I tried cocaine for the first time in my life. And
it's literally the worst drug in the world.
It's horrible. I thought you were going to say either the Smiths or Morrissey, because I know you say that's one of your favorite artists and you play guitar and you do a Smiths cover band or something, right?
I never saw the Smiths when they were together. And I will say to people that are podcast thinking about trying cocaine, it genuinely sucks.
It's horrible. I hated it.
No upside. And then the downside is you're the most depressed you've ever been in your entire. It's absolutely horrible.
It's horrible. Yeah, it is horrible.
Horrible thing.
Yeah. And now the first time you had sex.
First time I had sex was with, I was pretty young. I'd always dated girls that were a little bit older than me. So I think, I don't know if I should say, because my son will hear this, but I was young, mm-hmm. and the girl was 2 years older than me. My first, like, major girlfriend of high school. Mm-hmm. But it would have been, I guess I was probably a freshman in high school.
I do like that you feel that your son listens to every single thing that you put out, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Probably. Yeah, you might not hear that one.
I was going to say, let's sugar it up. Say yeah. You're 25.
Yeah, give him a good idea. Like, no, he says, slow down saying, a little. You will listen to this. Your father's on the show. Listen entirely.
But what I will say is, thinking back, I had no idea, you know, I'd seen Naked Ladies and stuff, and I knew like where, theoretically, where everything was, mm-hmm. but it still is not, doesn't even express how wrong you can be about how it's going to go. You know, like,
yeah. I still feel that way this day, my friend. I still,
Well, it can go so wrong. Yeah. Even though you think on paper, you have a notion in your head. I feel like I know how that's going to go. You don't, you really don't.
Yes, James.
No. Well, your virginity is kind of like when you're a comic and there's like a bad crowd and everyone is everyone tells you your first time is going to be awful. And you're like, nah, man, I got this. No way. It's kind of like when everyone else bombs in front of you and you're like, no, I'll be the one. And then you get up there and like, oh, shit, I am not the one.
You're also going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the closing question here is the book series. You're now a best-selling author. It's a young adult book series. I don't know much about it.
I don't know if it's that's the way they describe it, I guess. It's I consider it to be a book that's like just for funny people. It certainly is a great book for young adults, mm-hmm. but I wrote it mostly to write books that are sort of the genre that of like my hero, like Douglas Adams. So, you know, I think you could read like The Hitchhiker's Guide in those books when you're like 10 or 11, or you could read them when you're 50 or 60.
Right.
And it's just funny fantasy.
Oh, that's great. Is there, by the way, I only listen to books because I don't read them. Is there audio?
Oh, no, there's three audiobooks of it. Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles, Ronan Boyle and the Swamp of Certain Death, and then Ronan Boyle Into the Strange Place. And I read all three of them. They're on Audible. They're on every service.
I will add it to my list of reads while I run.
If you want to think of the hardest job you've ever had when you read your own audiobook, they don't stop unless you mess up.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like basically you're reading a 300-page novel in like 2 days.
That's crazy. I've told the story, and I apologize to the listeners, but this is about 15 years ago. Steven Tyler's manager asked me to read his audiobook to him because he wanted to listen to the book on audio. And I read like 5 or 6 pages because somehow he liked my voice. I had a radio show that was on, very popular at the time. So then somehow it got to, I don't even remember how the channels went where it came to me. And I hated doing it so much.
Awful.
That after 5 pages, I gave them their money back and I made up an excuse because I just didn't want to do it.
It is so unbearably hard. I mean, if they weren't my own books.
Right. It's different. Yeah.
To the people that can read, like, there are people, you can get the audiobook of It by Stephen King.
That's a long time, baby.
100 pages long.
Yeah.
It's intense. It's an intense.
And Mel Brooks read his whole book. If you've never listened, the book that came out like last year, which is unbelievable. Each chapter is about each movie he's ever done, and it's fucking unbelievable. It's very. I would recommend listening to it more than reading it because you hear it straight from him for the whole time. It's incredible. I recommend that completely. Okay, so the movie, the Reno 911 movie, Christmas Heist, comes out today. The full season of season 8. Called Defunded is on Roku channel, which you can download on any app.
There are also episodes Wednesday nights
on Comedy Central. But here's what's fucking annoying. Comedy Central on demand doesn't put any of those episodes up. So if you don't watch it on Wednesday, at least in New York, you won't get to see it. That's why
I'll talk to them. I know people. Yeah.
When you make the deal with Viva Variety with them, then make that as part of the deal.
I will try to get all that sorted out by the next time.
And then also January, the Viva Variety live sketches, Sketchfest is happening.
Sketchfest.
I will be there using your name at the door. We'll see what happens. And Thomas Patrick Lennon on the IG and the TikTok. Anything else you want to plug before we go around?
I love you guys.
Oh, it's very nice of you. James, your plugs?
Best afternoons.
This is great, right? The James Mattern on Instagram and YouTube. Man, go watch my video, The Check Spot. It is a special recorded during the worst part of the comedy show while everyone pays their bills. I do a Q&A. Look, I didn't get enough views, so go watch the goddamn thing. Audio crushed it. Go buy the vinyl on pinchrecords.com. I'll be with Chris DiStefano, Paramount Theater, December 31st. In Long Island, and the 19th through the 25th, Comedy Cellar in my hometown, Las Vegas. What up?
Okay. Follow me at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness, currently in the top 50 of health and wellness, is called The Good Sugar Podcast. We're opening up our first location on 3rd Avenue and 69th Street before the end of the year. And if you're wondering what I'm doing for the next 2 hours, it'll be checking my email to see if a link for the strip comes in from Thomas Lennon.
First, I got to convert the damn thing.
You got to make the guy work. It's holiday season, Ralph.
Maybe he's all talk. Maybe he's not really a nice guy and he's going to send it to me. We're going to find out.
I'm going to figure this out.
And we add a song every week to the sdrshow.com/playlist just because I'm sure it's out there. We'll add the Ballad of Balls of Fury. I'm sure we can find it. We'll do that.
I believe it's called Love Theme from Balls of Fury.
All right, we'll put that on there. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time on the SDR Show.
Be my judge and your bed. Be my You've been listening to the SDR Show.